This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Governor Pat McCrory sold his Duke Energy stock this April, but he filed documents with the State Ethics Commission saying he sold his stock in 2013. He said the mistake was a simple error by his legal counsel and didn't violate the ethics law. Critics question whether the timing of this divestiture, which came just a few days before the governor announced his proposal for cleaning up Duke Energy's coal ash spill. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us to talk about that and more. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Ken, public officials in North Carolina, as other places, I suspect, are required to disclose their financial holdings on an annual basis. What happened here?
Well, this is the weirdest thing. I mean, I know Governor McCrory is saying that the media are making too big of a big deal about this, but it just seems so basic. When you file your tax forms, when you file your investment forms on April 15th, the question is, what kind of holdings did you have in 2013? The governor had holdings in Duke Energy in 2013, but his people, his general counsel, the governor's general counsel said, oh, I thought you meant as of April 15th, and I didn't have any Duke Energy holdings on April 15th. I don't know how somebody could make that kind of mistake and be believable.
And it's kind of important because to say I got rid of everything by December of 2013, when in fact you had them for several months into the next year, while the state is considering what to do with Duke Energy and the disastrous coal ash spill, those couple of months are an important factor, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you could make the case that his general counsel didn't know his ash from his elbow. But more importantly, this is a simple question. When you're asked on April 15th, what holdings did you have in 2013? And he said, well, I didn't have them because basically he thought, well, I thought you meant as of today. Nobody answers a question like that. Nobody doesn't understand what the forms are all about. This is as of, what he had in 2013. Now, of course, he got rid of the stock after the spills, after the coal ash spills, and of course now he's talking about these action plans he's doing to deal with that. I notice the legislature is still leaving without doing anything about it. But the point is, what he's saying is that he got rid of it because of the pressure. All these protesters saying that you have a conflict of interest, you got to get rid of it. It's interesting that it's taken him 2.5 years to get rid of it, but he's apparently done it, although later than he said he did.
We see things like this all the time, though. There are these filings for elections commission filings, now this ethics filing, and we report errors all the time. Is there likely to be fallout from this? There seems to be very little fallout from these sorts of things if we look around the country and in the past.
That's true, but this is really touches home. When you have a toxic spill like what happened with Duke Energy, and it really upsets. This is not a Democrat versus Republican issue. This is a safety issue, and so Democrats and Republicans alike are really feeling. Whenever you hear of Duke Energy, you think of what it's done to the Dan River and what it's done to the environment. So when you kind of like fudge around, if indeed that's the case, if you're fudging around when you had the stock, when you didn't have the stock, that's one thing that politicians have all around the country. But when it's something as toxic, and I mean that politically toxic as well, it could have some kind of payback for 2016. It definitely is an issue in North Carolina.
Well, just up the street from the governor, the North Carolina legislature continues their disagreements. This time they can't agree on when to quit or how to quit. Senate proposed 3 adjournment bills. What do we know about this?
This is so strange. I mean, if Tom Tillis had one wish, and I'm sure he has more than one wish, but one of the wishes is please stop talking about disagreements in the state legislature. So here it is, the Senate and the House basically don't seem to be on the same page of when to adjourn or how to adjourn. Do you leave for the full year? Do you come back on November 17th? And if you come back on November 17th, do you just do one issue or do you take a lot of issues? And so even that they can't get an agreement on. They fought over the budget for so long. Tillis is saying, please, I have this Senate race I have to worry about. And Senate President Berger says, well, I have a budget I have to worry about. So while the Republicans, were fighting over the budget for so long, you think that once they got the agreement, everything would be fine. But the fact that they still can't even figure out how to adjourn is just giving the Republicans and Senate candidate Tillis more headaches.
And whether they come back or not, it still points to the fact that there are unresolved issues. Whether they get resolved in November or the next regular session, there's still a lot that hasn't been done in this very long, short session.
Absolutely true. I mean, they're talking about the special session, and there are some proposals that it should just be limited to one thing, but there's so much things that have not been taken care of. As I mentioned, the Duke Coal Ash cleanup, which is going to cost billions of dollars, and who pays for it and where the money comes from. But again, the legislature left without dealing with that at all. And so they haven't even decided that if they do come back in November, whether they'll focus on that or just focus on more limited things.
Well, Ken, let's talk about the national headlines for a moment, certainly dominated by Ferguson, Missouri, a young black man shot and killed by a police officer. Protests, of course, erupted. That man apparently unarmed, plagued by violence. In fact, we should listen to President Obama, who spoke on the issue.
I know that emotions are raw right now in Ferguson, and there are certainly passionate differences about what has happened. There are going to be different accounts of how this tragedy occurred. There are going to be differences in terms of what needs to happen going forward. That's part of our democracy. But let's remember that we're all part of one American family. We are united in common values, and that includes belief in equality under the law, a basic respect for public order, and the right to peaceful public protest, a reverence for the dignity of every single man, woman, and child among us, and the need for accountability when it comes to our government. So now's the time for healing. Now's the time for peace and calm on the streets of Ferguson.
Well, it's President Obama yesterday. Ken, how is that received?
What did he say? I mean, I understand what he said. I understand what he said, but again, there was so much pent-up anger and hostility, and especially if you look at what's going on in Ferguson, if you look at an overwhelmingly black community, an overwhelmingly white police force, the way the police responded to the aftermath of the tragedy of the Michael Brown's killing. Look, the president is known for being dispassionate. I think the president is also known for saying, please, let's not have another debate, an endless debate about race. But something has got to be done in towns when you have these kind of confrontations, these kind of hostilities building up for years. You know, when you think of what the public officials and the government officials in Missouri, like the governor and the senator, Claire McCaskill, the governor, Jay Nixon, it's like they only discovered the last 3 days that there's a powder keg in Ferguson when apparently, by all accounts, it has been building up for years. And so when something like this happens, as horrific as it is, people should realize that this is just not coming out in a vacuum. This is something that has been building up for years, and apparently nothing has been done.
We're talking with political junkie Ken Rudin on the state of things. Right now, talking about the situation in Ferguson, Missouri, and of course, it's not just in Ferguson, and that's the point. Ted Cruz made a statement about this. We heard Rand Paul talks about it, saying it's time to demilitarize the police. Ted Cruz is making a statement talking about, obviously, somebody who's looking forward to the 2016 presidential matchup. So this is obviously an important national issue.
Well, of course it's an important national issue, just because some guy named Barack Obama was elected president in 2008 doesn't mean that the issue of race has gone away from our dialogue. But you know what Rand Paul also said? He says that let's face it, race is a huge factor in applying criminal justice standards in this country. And, you know, you just open your eyes and you see it. I think Rand Paul was far more animated, far more opinionated about this than President Obama's more reasoned argument, you know, more even tempered, balanced argument. But I mean, Rand Paul does say a lot of things. He's saying things that's very unusual for a Republican. Now, a P.S. that deserves to be mentioned is that when Rand Paul was running for the Senate in 2010, he criticized the 1964 Civil Rights Act. He said that, you know, I think it's okay if white owners refuse to serve to blacks in these demonstrations. So Rand Paul has things in his past that he has to deal with as well. But he is saying things that most Republicans are not saying, and especially about race in this country.
What about Ted Cruz?
Well, Ted Cruz was kind of more, you know, I mean, look, I suspect that more and more would-be 2016 politicians may say things in the coming weeks, months. I noticed Elizabeth Warren had a little tweet about this as well, and there are a lot of people on the progressive left that would love for Elizabeth Warren to say something. But look, I think what both people, both sides are agreeing on is that there are differences between the way people see police and the way people see communities. And what happened in Ferguson is something that could happen in any town in America, and it's something that people need to pay attention to, not wait for some tragedy like this to happen and then people say, uh-oh, something has to be done.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. Ken, as always, a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Frank, thank you.
On the State of Things today, we're talking about all of this, things political here in the state and Ferguson. We'll take a look at Ferguson from a much broader perspective, the idea of collective storytelling and how it shapes our ideas about politics. We'll talk about that when our program continues. You're listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.